Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard, praise Yahweh, and we're going to get right into the Word of God. Hallelujah. We're going to look into Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now, the serpent, Satan, we're going to talk about him tonight and what effect he might have on your life, because he has a mission. Mission number one is to kill. Everything is to be destroyed that should have been in Yahweh's kingdom. In other words, you've got an enemy. In other words, there is someone that is interested in destroying your life. Kill, steal, and destroy. You know, with wars raging and with deception as high as I have ever seen it after almost 50 years into the ministry. So Satan is alive and well upon planet Earth. And you know, in the last days, the intensification of this spirit of deception and this spirit of death and the spirit of stealing away the sheep that belong to Yahweh. You know, the Bible, it teaches us that Satan, the wolf, will come in the last days, not sparing the flock. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Dr. Gary and Tom for filling in last Sunday night, did a marvelous job on depleted uranium, one of the most deadly forms of death upon the planet. You know, the Bible says in the 15th chapter of the book of Revelations that there will be a time when Yahweh will have to cut short in the last days a time, because he's going to have to return, ladies and gentlemen. This is the scary thing, and I see it happening every day. And I know that if you are a praying person, then you know that Pastor Buddy is telling you the truth when I say that we're living in perilous times. The Bible says that he, Yahweh, will have to return to destroy them that destroy the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, the total destruction and annihilation of the planet is well within the means and possibles as we look at it today. Man has, and maybe even outside forces that we don't know about, has the power to completely, totally, and that's one of the requisites, as Satan puts in his resume of expertise, is to destroy. Now, within that framework tonight, I want to attempt to preach with the help of the Holy Father, and I pray that he would anoint me with the Spirit, the Shekinah, to bring forth a timely message in the last days of the weapons of our warfare. I'd like to title it tonight, The Weapons of Our Warfare. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you're called to be a soldier. You're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We're live here tonight on the Jewel of the South, WWCR, on Sunday, May the 29th, in the year 205. The Jewel of the South, WWCR 5070. We want you to call a friend and tell them that Pastor Buddy's on there. You know, we just got through Festival of Passover in Andrews, North Carolina. And I'm as much charged in the Spirit as I have been for several years, praise Yahweh, simply because the Word, the quickening Spirit, the written and the living Word combined with faith will charge your batteries to the point that you don't even need any sleep, glory to God, and you don't need any natural food, praise Yahweh, and you just seem like that you grow in strength with the weapons of our warfare, praise Yahweh, which are not carnal, by the way, which are the powers that we have to resist Satan. You know what the Bible said? He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from the heaven. And the Bible says, if you will resist Satan, you know, he'll come in a subtle way. Now, Satan was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made. And he said unto the woman, oh, here he's going to talk. And ladies and gentlemen, he's got a testimony. I'm talking about Satan, second to none, when it comes to persuasion to get you on the razor's edge of deceit, where that it almost seems like I have never in all of my life seen his power demonstrated across the earth as I have here in the last days. He was a serpent as an angel. And the serpent, meaning he was very crafty, very wise. And you know, Christ spoke about the nature of a serpent. He said, be wise as a serpent. So then, to battle Satan with the weapons that the Father has left you, he says, you shall have five signs that will follow your life. The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 16, beginning at the 16th verse, when he told Peter that he would build his church upon a solid foundation of truth, not a way that seems right, but a way that would be so direct and so straight and so narrow and so well hidden with a camouflage of the Spirit. Now, only the spiritual people can find the entrance into the narrow way. Now, let me repeat that. Only the people who knoweth the Creator and have made it their mission to put on the whole armor that they might stand against the wiles and the wisdom of the devil. You see, most people are looking for wisdom, and Yahweh chose the foolish things to confound the wise. Now, isn't that strange that he would choose something foolish rather than something wise? And Satan, knowing the lure of the flesh man, would choose things that are knowledgeable, the tree of knowledge, and the tree of wisdom, the tree of beauty, the tree of perception, to declare almost all of the scriptures. Satan can quote the scriptures. Satan can lay hold against your very foundation of faith. He can shake and jar, if you will, with the dynamite of persuasion and the dynamite of perception. Now, what is perception rather than fool's gold and a light that is darkness? Now, let me repeat that. I won't talk about it tonight. Perception of fool's gold. You know, there is a gold that seems right. There is a gold that looks like gold. It's called fool's gold. Exactly. And you are foolish to want to have the wisdom that will make you wise in your own conceits and your own conceptions and within the light of your own perception. There is a way that seemeth right. No, I'm charged up tonight, glory to God, and I believe the truth is one of the most narrow extensions of a perception. You have to narrow your perception, not expand it into knowledge, not seek beyond your means of reason, because the analytical reason of knowledge will send you to the lowest dungeons of deception. By doing that, Satan has accomplished his mission of bringing the wisdom and the knowledge and the in-depth perception of a way that seems right to your very doorstep of your heart, where he can deceive, if possible, the very elect. Now, the weapons of warfare. Satan said, hath God said? You see, the first thing that Satan does to any individual is have you to begin to question that which is written. Our Messiah, Yahushua, in a flesh body, who withstood the temptational knowledge and wisdom of Satan, always kept coming back with the chess game of the sword crossing of the word. Satan would quote the scripture, but he would quote it out of the context of its true spiritual intention and frame it into a carnal perception and the conception of deceit. It's a thin line between right and wrong. Oh, he said, by questioning, hath God said? And when the Messiah stood or withstood Satan, he would come back to the Word of God and say, it is written. Now, ladies and gentlemen, with the scriptures or the Holy Bible under attack, the assault of Satan, who has begun to worm, and these are the wormwood days, ladies and gentlemen. Let me repeat this. With the flow of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit being the water that flows into the living minds of men, a compliment in the last days was the effect of gall and bitterness and wormwood. That is, doctrines of devils. For he said, some shall depart from the faith. That is, when you begin to question what God said, when you change it, when you alter it, or when you fall from your steadfastness, Satan has begun an assault upon the very integrity of the Word of God. You know, the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. Impossible. That's one thing God cannot do, is lie. The other thing that God has a limitation on is he knows no other God. But listen, here's what Satan said. Attack. And the number one weapon in Satan's arsenal, I want to repeat this, and you Bible studiers and Bible listeners out there studying tonight with Pastor Buddy, remember this, write it down. The first thing that Satan does to weaken your foundational faith is to question the integrity and the truth of the Word of God. And the woman said unto the serpent, of every tree of the garden we may eat, except the tree which is in the midst of the garden. And God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And Satan said unto the woman, ye shall surely not die. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said it's once appointed unto a man to die. Satan has deceived man to think in the last days that we can genetically alter to the point where we can solve the riddle or the mystery of the pronounced curse of death upon the outward man as he attempts to gain knowledge and restore his eternal ability to possess the earth forever. But Satan has a master plan. As you work toward extending your life span cycle of the flesh man, Satan is busy figuring out a way to destroy you as soon as he can, because the Bible said he'd come with his weapons to kill you, to steal you, and destroy you. You shall surely not die. For God doth know that in the day that you... See, this is a question, or this is an attack, an assault, upon the knowledge of the Creator versus the stupidity of the serpent. Now, if the stupidity is wisdom to the flesh man, then God chose the foolish things to oppose the spirit man into the flesh realm. You see, the Bible says the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. If you would give in to the spirit man and let him be free from the carnal prison of the flesh, the inhibitor of your convictions or the assault on your faith. You see, Satan wants to destroy you and your faith in the integrity of the truth of the Word of God. And God chose, believe it or not, God, our eternal Father, Yahweh, chose the foolish things. Now, it looks like when we're choosing up to play this chess game, that Satan brings all of the knowledgeable people, the analytical, those that search for history, to disprove the Bible, never to affirm or to believe or to agree that the Word of God is written by the inspiration of the Spirit. And the Bible says that God intentionally hid the good way, the narrow way, from the wise and the prudent. And oh my, how that I see in the last days how that people have turned to knowledge, the analytical knowledge of secular humanism and historical lies as they have doctored the history contrary to the Word of God, assaulted the Word of God just like Satan did in his initiation mission. When he began to question the Word of God, for he said, "Hath God said?" That means an assault on the integrity and truth of the Word of God. For Satan said, "You shall not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, you shall have your eyes opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now, Christ alluded to this in the book of John when he said, "I said," this is recorded in the book of Psalms, "I said you are gods, but you shall die like men." Ladies and gentlemen, the bigger you are, and the more you resist the integrity of the Word of God, the harder you'll fall. And great will be the fall of your foundational concepts and perception about the glorious truth of our eternal Creator. Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Now, let me show you something here. I want to illustrate two tactics that Satan uses in his attempts to destroy God or the Holy Shekinah, the Spirit, in the hearts and the minds of his people. First, Satan is to implant a doubt as to the existence of God. Now, let me repeat that. The first thing that Satan does after he destroys your faith in the integrity and character of the Godhead. And the Godhead is not, as you suppose, according to Colossians 1, verse 15. We'll get into that just a little bit later. I'm going to do a full four-part series on the weapons of our warfare. That in the last days there shall come forth seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, I'll repeat that. The two tactics that Satan uses in his attempt to destroy God, or Yah, the Holy Yah, the Spirit, in the hearts and minds of his people, now only his people, is to implant a doubt as to the existence of God. Now, you know, a lot of people say they get burned out on serving the Creator. They say it's too hard. They say there's too much cost. They've got other things to do. They've got things to build and places to go and things to see. But the Bible says, like the rich man, now this man was rich in his perception. Now, let me repeat that. This man was rich in his perception. He saw in his perception his mind to tear down his barns, and a barn is an illustration of a place to store your thoughts, and the grain of the integrity or the gold of your treasure, of your mind that has accepted Yahweh into your heart. But Satan comes along and asks you to tear down your foundational barn, your place of storage of thoughts and beliefs. And then he implants a doubt. I will build bigger. I can do better. This Bible doctrine is getting old. I need better things to do. I've got greater places to go. There's other books and science and philosophy of humanistic existence that will convince me beyond a shadow of a doubt that the integrity of God's Word lied to me about my Godhead. I am myself a God, and therefore I shall challenge the integrity of God's Word, to tear down the integrity and character of His Word, and I shall, by all means, replace the conception of a true eternal Father. And I'll walk among the stones of fire as a mighty one. Well, that's what Satan tried to do in the very beginning, folks. And some folks who have been erred from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and false science and humanistic philosophy, as they use this spirituality, this newfound foundation without the Word. Cast the Word aside. Close the Bible. Do not search the Scriptures. Away with such foolishness and nonsense and rituals of continuous hatred, because the Bible says that we must hate. And ladies and gentlemen, I am a preacher and teacher of hate. If you come to Christ and hate not your father and your mother and your sisters and your brothers and your aunts and uncles and anything else that would separate you from the love of the integrity of the strength of God's Word that you must suffer to obtain, oh yes, you get burnt out. It's not burnout, it's doubt out. You doubt the integrity of the persuasion of the things that Almighty Yahweh said to do, and therefore you turn to this humanistic nature and you begin to think more of a tree or a cricket or a bug or a lizard or a snake or a hoot owl sitting up there in the woods as you strive to protect the humanicide and leave off the integrity of the Spirit, which it says for you to hate every false way. Did you know that a man called Jonah got into humanist secular observation of nature? Do you know that he had more respect for a gourd that grew up to give him shade than he did for the souls that were hanging very tediously in the balance of God's almighty fire and brimstone judgment when he sent the preacher, Jonah, into the city of Nineveh to preach the gospel? Therefore, the sons of Yah, this was the lost sheep of the house of Israel as they were exiled into the Assyrian town of Nineveh. Jonah, being chosen to preach to them, brought the hellfire and brimstone revelation message down to the city of Nineveh and said, "Repent or perish." And some people with a warped mind of a carnal humanistic of philosophy says, "Repent from what? Be saved." And they say, "Be saved from what? They have no sins. They have no need of repenting." And yet these wonderful people, these Israelites that were exiled into Assyria, heard this message, and the Bible said they repented with all of their heart. Jonah climbed the highest mountain above the city, and there, with no timber in the high country, listen to me well, ladies and gentlemen, no timber grows above a certain level of what we call the timberline. He got out of the woods, and he got exposed to the elements, and at that level, or that altitude, he was beginning to be scorched with the sun as it beamed down upon his head. And so, with the misery of waiting for the destruction of Nineveh, never having a thought that they could possibly repent and turn from their wicked ways, he waited patiently. And yet, he was complaining about the sun burning his head. And the Bible says Almighty God caused a little gourd to spring up. And the comfort of the gourd protecting old Jonah from the sun that shone above the timberline. The Bible says in the book of Hosea, lo, you went into the mountain and you hewed down timber and you brought it to my house and I did blow upon it. You looked for much and it came to little. Ladies and gentlemen, some people that labor in the gospel look for a whole lot, yet they get little. They get little reward. They get little praise. They get little monetary gain. They get a slap and a rebuke in the face if they're preaching the true gospel. And then they become disenchanted and moving on up to some other way or some seem-right way or something. An organized religion that gives them a deeper appreciation for humanistic philosophy and the comforts of large crowds. Jonah, being alone, waiting for the destruction, knowing certainly it was going to come, but he saw no element of repentance and mercy, waited for the certain destruction and the impending doom of the city of Nineveh. The gourd provided a valuable cover for the head of Jonah. And so then he got lost in his observations and couldn't see down into the city where the king and the cattle and the horses and the sheep and the beasts of the field and man raised their hands. The beast of the field and man raised their hands. That's the sons of Israel. And the beast of the field raised their hands with sackcloth and ashes and cried mightily in repentance to Almighty Yahweh. Yahweh heard and repented himself of the destruction or the impending doom that he had forecast through the prophecy through the prophet Jonah. Repent or perish. They chose to repent. And the Bible says that Jonah in his comfort losing his sight through the gourd that shaded his face, losing the true vision of a purpose. And you know what? Flesh sometimes is like the gourd that shielded Jonah from the repentance of Nineveh. The carnal mind, not being subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. Oh, I feel the Shekinah. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at a time when man will definitely refuse to repent. There's Jonahs that are appearing upon the world scene that will preach repentance, and unlike Nineveh, these cities who will have the gospel preached to them, they will not repent, irregardless of the gospel, because God has sent prophets and they are persecuted, resisted. I spend more time arguing against people in our faith than I do outside of our faith that are now taking up these humanistic principles of philosophy and vain deceit and buying into the deception that are well-pleasing for Satan's purpose upon the earth to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that the Bible says that Jonas, in his comfort, with the gourd to shield the sun from his face and Nineveh from his view, that night Yahweh created a little grub worm, we call it down here in the south, and it chewed and gnawed until it cut the gourd down that was shielding Jonah from the sun. Did you know that there are obstacles that are shielding people from the Son of God? Did you know that the Bible says that in the last days, according to Hebrews chapter 6, that men shall turn from the faith? Did you know that the Bible says that they will actually deny the coming or the presence In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Do you know that the Bible says in the last days that those in the faith will turn to false science with the doubt of the existence of the true God in their heart? The hearts wax cold and stony, will reject the truth and bind to the deceptions that God does not exist. Oh, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, Satan knew that there was a bigger God than he was. You say Satan is a God. He's a God of this world. He's a limited God. He's a created being. Therefore, he has a beginning, and you can bet your bottom dollar that he will have an end. Satan told Adam and Eve that God had lied to them. That's as simple as I can make it. That God cannot be trusted. This is a major tactic that Satan uses even today by also suggesting that God never came into the world to save sinners. I want to repeat that. That there was not a God capable, he didn't exist in their mind, in their humanistic philosophy, their ignorant minds of carnality, laced on the knowledge and the wisdom and the beauty of the incorporated thought process. Well, all you got to do is think. You know, I've heard that until, and I'm an old rat in the mill, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to use that southern expression. I've been in this mill grinding where they're grinding the corn and the grain and the tares all together. And I've watched them come and I've watched them go. The message that Satan wants you to preach is that there is no God greater than yourself. There is no creator that brought you into existence. There is no creator that came and died for your sins. That's all a Jewish myth that is ritualistically a lie. Preachers and teachers, confusing, hypocritical, evil. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, when you replace Yahweh, when you take him out of your incorporated thought process, you bring satanic knowledge into your mind, and then you have failed from your own steadfastness. And Satan, at the proper time, after his deception, the glaring light of deception, after he deceives you, he will turn away from you. He will abandon you. He will desert you, and you will die like a lonely worm on a hot rock with no mercy. You know what the Bible said? They that broke Moses, old Pastor Buddy, Moses was too hard on the people. You know what the Bible says? Take heed that they that did break Moses' law died without mercy, and take heed and consider yourself that if they did not escape, it is a certain that you will not. And these preachers, confusing, evil, hypocrites, offering support for Satan's message to destroy the message or the Word of God, and then attack the messengers and destroy the God of integrity. To the spiritual ignorant, it's an effective weapon in Satan's arsenal. Weapon number two. I gotta get a move on. I'm gonna give you these seven weapons in two parts. If I can get the time, the next thing that Satan brings into his weaponry is confusion. Now, confusion and doubt are two of the things that builds Babylon, which is the right and left lobe of your brain. One day you're this way, the next day you're this way, one day you believe this, and the next day you don't believe it. You're analytically incorporating your expansion of your perception. And thereby, by your own mind, you expand it out to remove the integrity and truth of God's written word. When you do, you fall from your own steadfastness. Did you know that organized religion and humanistic concepts are Satan's most powerful weapons against the soul or the spirit? Did you know that the Bible says that the flesh man, with his bright, brilliant light of a darkness of the flesh, his analytical perceptions, have separated him from the true intentional spirit? Did you know that men will not fast and pray? They will not bury their heart in the earth of Yahweh upon their face and plead his most precious anointed knowledge that is hid from the wise and prudent and only revealed to the babes and sucklings, the powerful weapons that destroys the spiritual man, is recorded in 1 Corinthians, or make that 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Let me read it to you here. In whom the God of this world, Satan wanted you to be a God. He wanted your eyes open. He wanted you to be analytical. He wanted you to research philosophy. He wanted you to go into depth as he would influence the writers of secular history and other religious bodies of matter, contrary to the living word of God, which was written by holy men of God, spoke as they were moved on by the Holy Spirit to test your faith to the max. And ladies and gentlemen, Paul confirmed, David said, it was not my enemy that was arrayed with swords and staves against me that deceived me. It was not that I could see before me that deceived me. There was no weapon formed against David that would take David down. But David said, it was my equal, my brother. We took sweet counsel, and we walked up into the temple of God, and there we worship. He deceived me. The Bible says, take heed, and let no man deceive you, for that day will not come, except for coming up all in a way. And whom the God of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And so the assault of the weapon of Satan is to take your faith and destroy it in the integrity of the written word of God. Yahweh Shua said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Confirming the faith by the written word to prove his very existence. Satan blinded the minds of them that believe not, least the light. Now, that's a small candlelight. That's not the illuminated light of darkness. There is a way that seemeth light that is illuminated in darkness. At least the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Matthew 13:19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, Satan, and catches away that which was sown in his heart. And this is he which receives seed by the wayside. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan is out to kill you with the weapons of love. Oh my, I just changed the weapons of our warfare. You see, Satan uses love. Satan uses camaraderie. Satan uses large congregations of same-like people to send literally billions of people to their own destruction. There is a true way and there is a false way. But the urgent need of every person to find and distinguish what is right and what is wrong is within the incorporated responsibility of self, where it says, let every man seek his own soul salvation. But let it be known that when you do this, when you begin to seek the true way, Satan will come with the false way, which is a fine line between right and wrong and between light and darkness. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, let me ask you a question. If you know the meaningful purpose of your life, you will know that the whole duty of man, according to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, if you'll hear the conclusion of the whole matter, the whole responsibility is to fear Yahweh and to keep His commandments. Now, let me give you a scripture. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, that light seems like truth. That light will tell you, oh, it's wrong to hate anybody, Pastor Buddy. Oh, Pastor Buddy, God never intended us to be separate and holy people. He wanted us to mix and mingle with everybody in the earth. He wanted us to take our blood and mix it over to every race in the earth. He wanted us to homogenize our bloodline into all the earth, that we could become His loving, kind people. See, that's Satan's number one message of Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, when he sowed his seed in the righteous womb of Eve, who was deceived, and brought forth the tare that I've been talking about here tonight, and the deception purposes of Satan, which is to deceive the very elect. Satan himself transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to the works, when they will hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And as it is recorded in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and that if it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. Now, Paul says, concerning they that would pervert the right way into a seem right way, or a way that was popular, in Acts 13:10, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. Oh. Thou child of the devil. You believe that the devil was real and denied the existence of one greater? You will confess that the Bible is wrong and go out and find you a textbook that some perverted devil has written with the skill and mastership of deception, for he was given that very purpose to deceive you. And you take it upon yourself to leave the time-tested integrity of the Word of God, which has been scrutinized, tried and tested and proven over and over again, that God is a liar, that God is not true. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that they tried to pervert the right way of Yahweh in 13 and 10. And did you know that there are men today that are perverting the right way of God, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, worshiping the creatures of nature more than the Creator that gave you these things liberally to try you? You see, all of the other races in the earth are presented here for your trials. All of the things that you see to lure you away, to cause you to commit fornication and racial covenant adultery, separating yourself and approving and even enjoying the riding sins of lasciviousness and perversion. As we walk across this end time generation, let it be known that many, many, many sorrows are set to come upon us. As I close out with my last scripture, before I get to weapon number 4, 2 Corinthians 11 and 3. But I am afraid of you, fearing that in some way you have now been led away from your pure and simple devotion and confession of faith. Just as Eve was deceived by Satan in the Garden of Eden. I want to think that. I'm frightened and afraid. Paul said of you, fearing that you have been led away from your original foundation of faith in the living God and the integrity and character of His written word. Well, Pastor Buddy, all that Bible's wrong. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, after studying the Bible for 50 years, I am amazed at the maze of the integral workings of the Word of God that is written in such a marvelous way that you can literally read yourself into destruction. Now, let me repeat that. Peter says that many wrestle with the scriptures of Paul to their own death and destruction. The destruction of man is certain. The flesh man will never, irregardless of all his modern, knowledgeable, light-given ways, he'll never inherit the kingdom of heaven. I will repeat that. The flesh and blood of Satan. Now listen to me well. The flesh and blood of the carnal Satan will never inherit the kingdom of heaven. But you, if you remain faithful and steadfast, will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and there you will be having a body like His glorious body. Now, according to Acts 10, 34 through 40, the Bible says that the apostles, given the witness testimony of the resurrection, and the Bible said in the last day, they will come preaching that there is no resurrection of the dead, and overthrow the faith of some. Ladies and gentlemen, deceived and being deceived by failing to believe in the character of the Godhead. The integrity of the Godhead that is sure and steadfast, and it is certain that nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. Well, you're listening to Pastor Buddy tonight, and I'm so delighted. I've come back from Passover, and my heart is stirred deep within me as we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against power and spiritual wickedness that sets itself in the high places of our mind, trying to get the left brain and the right brain to agree that there's nothing to that spiritual man that is in you. The Bible said there is an inward man and there's an outward man. And the message for the outward man is light and incorporated resistance and outright denial of the existence of the inward. And so then, our job is to crucify the outward man with the affections and the lust thereof, and turn our heads and hearts back to a Father that purchased us with his own blood from the very foundation of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, he just didn't come and die 2,000 years ago. When Satan brought the blood of the corrupt snake of a Canaanite affiliation into the earth, he brought the accuser of the brethren. He brought the deception. He brought the weapons of carnal warfare to wage war against the integrity of the living Word of God. And so many have gathered themselves and set themselves in a way against the coming of the day of the Lord, when the heavens will be on fire and the elements will melt with fervor heat as the truth of the gospel comes in and burns up all the chaff, and the great Shekinah wind of the glory of God as it blows across the face of the earth, when he will cleanse from all that offend in the kingdom. He shall bind the tares and those wicked servants who will not, that he should reign over them, and there will be a day of trouble in the land. Woe, it'll be a dark day right before the glorious appearance of the true light that cometh to try every man and his deeds done in his body. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to write me tonight, simply write, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live. Praise Yah. Still living, still kicking, still full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, full of zeal, full of love for the brotherhood of truth and integrity. As those who suffer with him, that will reign with him, you can call me tonight. Pick up the phone, call Pastor Buddy. Post office box, if you'd like to write, is 2284 New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to write tonight, you can do so. If you'd like to call me live on the landline, area code 423-626-2172. I'd like for you people that's listening to me around the nation, call me up tonight. You people in Canada, call me up. I've got some good news for you people in Canada that are some of my regular listeners. Give me a call at your convenience. I've got some good news for you, and I would like to share with you if you'd like to call. Now, those who are in foreign countries, we've had people call from Puerto Rico, Germany, Ireland, wrote letters from Spain, and throughout the Caribbean. We've got letters and cards from people and telephone calls, and we appreciate it very much. Ladies and gentlemen, join with Pastor Buddy and those who support the ministry. We need your help. We're looking for at least 500 acres of land. We would like to have this land centralized in the South, somewhere within the South. If you are interested in having a relationship with Yahweh and his, the brotherhood, then if you have property that you would like to put in trust for fellowship and for festivals, we would be interested in taking that under advisement. So if you would like to call me, if you have any way of providing a piece of property for the Shepherd's Golf, we would be delighted to hear from you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the old time on the hands on the clock is saying Pastor Buddy's going to have to get out of here. I'll see you next Sunday night, part two of the Weapons of Our Warfare. Yahweh bless you.
Against the priest. July.